Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. It is Easter Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I thought today I would use a passage from Psalm 24, verse 3, which asks the most important question that each and every one of us has to answer. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? In other words, are you going to stand in God's presence? Are you going to be able to come into God's presence? There's only one way that you can do that. During this Easter day, Christ arose from the dead, which means that his sacrifice for sin on the cross of Calvary on Good Friday was accepted by God the Father. And because that sacrifice was accepted, it means that those of us who ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart, who have a personal relationship with him, have our sins forgiven, and we have righteous standing in God's presence. And we then can come into God's presence, and we may stand in his holy place because he made us holy. His righteousness was given to us because of the work on the cross of Calvary and our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust today that this will not just be a regular day for you. I trust today that you'll be excited about your salvation, excited about your relationship with God, and so thankful that you're members of the family of God. And I trust that those who do not know Jesus Christ personally will come to know him in a personal way today. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Reverend Mark Perkins, who is the director of Destination Life Fellowship in Niagara Falls, New York. And the Lord has blessed him in a mighty way. He's got several ministries that he's overseeing, including being on the board of Isaiah 61 Project. Mark, why don't you tell us about that project and what it's doing for the Niagara Falls area?
Thanks, Brian. The Isaiah 61 Project is a Christian community development group that has come together through the vision of a number of folks to see a development, a revitalization of the inner city area of Niagara Falls, New York, to see a rehabilitation of lives and of the infrastructure. And so the project is based off of the Isaiah 61 scriptures, restoration of lives and restoration of the city of Niagara Falls. And so what we have done is put together in cooperation with the local BOCES, which is a Voc Tech school in Niagara Falls, or actually in the Orleans and Niagara counties. And what we do is we provide a 400-hour training program in the construction trades. This is free of charge to our students. Most of the people are adults, both men and women, have come through our program. Right now, we're running about a 70% completion rate, along with a 70 to 75% employment rate after. And so the students come in, We train them in how to do residential construction, all sorts of the different things that are involved with that. And then at the same time that they're learning in a classroom setting, we are also into houses. We have houses that we buy from the city that are ones that have been abandoned and put onto the city rolls. We buy those houses from the city, go in and completely deconstruct them. So we take them down to the studs. And from there, we put in all new wiring. We put in all new heat ducting. We put in new furnace, new plumbing, hot water heater. Then we re-insulate it, put up all new wallboard, going to paint the interior, put new flooring in. We put new roofs on as needed. We put all new siding on to it, onto the house. And then we're able to do that and sell that back into the community in the way of low-income housing. And so someone, if they want to purchase the house, they have to be HUD qualified, you know, meet certain guidelines that would qualify them for a low-income, low-interest loan on their house. But right now we have two full-time classes going of adults, and we just hired a third instructor who is going to be working through the alternative high school in Niagara Falls, working with the students that are at risk. These are kids that are getting ready to drop out of school. And so they'll be doing 2 days a week training these kids. And we have a house that's set aside for them to be working on. And then again, we'll flip it as low income housing, put it back into the system. We're also trying to do literacy training with them. And not only are we trying to get them regular skills, job skills, but we also try to teach them life skills. We have Wood Forest Bank who's come in and they're providing financial training, how to keep a checkbook, how to budget your money, how to do things like that. We have a guy that works for us who is teaching them job skills in the area of trying to how to get a job, interviewing skills and resume skills, the kind of the soft skills, if you would, how to dress and be on time and things like that.
We really appreciate your ministry, Mark, and we'll continue this conversation next week. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We appreciate those who write into us each week because this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without prayer support and financial support of our listeners. Many have included us in their will to help us to continue this broadcast into the future. This is the oldest Christian broadcast in North America. We've been on the air for well over 90-plus years, and God has continued to bless us, and it's been primarily through the legacy gifts or people that remember us in the will that we've been able to continue this ministry. This month, we're offering a wonderful, wonderful pamphlet. It's entitled Palm Sunday to Easter, and it chronicles the last week of Jesus' life. Not only does it have a day-by-day timeline with scripture references, but it also connects them to the map of Jerusalem. And what's really a blessing, it has a clock of sorts, which chronicles the final hours of Jesus' life from his trial before Pilate to his burial. Another helpful feature shows the Roman, Jewish, and modern time frames to make sense of the sequence. It includes also some Jewish tombs of that period with artifacts, and also talks about crucifixion. It actually mentions the medical effects of scourging and the crucifixion that would have been placed on Jesus' body. It's a well thought out pamphlet that is solid and has biblical references, and it's really helpful for Bible study and to put every verse in perspective that talks about the great work that Jesus did on the cross from Palm Sunday to Easter. I really encourage you highly to get a copy of this pamphlet. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. And please continue to pray for this broadcast. Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is entitled, A Special Easter Message. I know you enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
Let me greet you on this Easter Sunday with the words of the angel's joyful announcement of Christ's resurrection. He is not here, but is risen as he said. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most significant event in the history of mankind. It vindicates all that Jesus said and was, and is the promise of a glorious future for all believers. The season of the year is suggestive as well, for spring announces the waning of the dark, dreary, cold days of winter and anticipates the joyous warmth, beauty, and new life that assuredly is coming. The story of Easter is both moving and uplifting. After Jesus had suffered the agonies of the cross for man's sin, his body was taken down from the cross by a loving disciple named Joseph, a believer and a wealthy man who had a stone tomb built. There they placed Christ's body, and the door was sealed with a huge round stone which was rolled so as to close the entrance. Luke 24, verse 1 reads, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet with you in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all of these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now, our topic today is the angel's Easter message and more. Luke's account said two men in shining garments stood by them. That is, they appeared suddenly, and they were so overwhelmingly different that the women recognized their superhuman nature. And it says they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. Now, angels are very real spirit beings and are extremely intriguing in nature and in ministry. Angel means messenger or envoy, and God has created them and commissioned them to help in his work. Scripture says an angel slew an enemy army of Israel, that is the Syrians, 185,000. Died in one night. Gabriel appeared to Daniel and revealed to him the prophetic scope of Gentile world history, as well as the time of Messiah's coming. An angel announced the birth of John the Baptist to Elizabeth and Zacharias, and later announced to Mary the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels appeared to Jesus as he struggled in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, preparing for the agony of the cross in order to provide an eternal salvation for sinful mankind. We speak of guardian angels, and this seems to be clear from Matthew 18 and 10, which says, Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. It appears, then, that angels are appointed at each human birth and minister throughout life in ways that we don't perhaps understand. Angels are holy ones and are able to stand in the very presence of God. They are without sin. That is, they cannot lie. So when angels announce to the women at the tomb that Christ was risen, then that is the absolute truth. If Christ had been taken away by the disciples or his enemies, the angels would have known it and would have been compelled to say so. The holy messengers of God said clearly, He is risen, and that, of course, is the truth. Jesus himself taught the disciples that he would rise from the dead. But their mindset and their own desires allowed them to ignore that. The angels at the tomb triumphantly declared that Christ had fulfilled his word. He had died to provide salvation, and he was now alive forevermore. The Apostle Paul declared that the resurrection of Christ is the sheet anchor or absolute foundation of our Christian faith. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14, Paul says, "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Ye are yet in your sins. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept." The resurrection was God's final sign of approval upon all that Christ was, said, and did. So we know that salvation is absolutely complete and totally adequate for all the sinners of all the worlds. 1 John 2:2 says, "And he, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Think of all that was implied in the announcement of the angels. He is risen. But there's more. In Mark's gospel account, chapter 16 and verse 7, the angels said to the people, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." Now each gospel is important, and in a unique way reveals a little more truth. The angels here say Jesus is not only risen, but he wants to meet with you in Galilee. What a gracious invitation, and how reassuring these words must have been to those disciples. Jesus had just suffered the humility and rejection of his own nation, as well as the mockery and scorn of Herod and his soldiers. This was followed by the brutal and agonizing suffering of the cross, the denial of Peter, the leader of the disciples, followed by the cowardly fleeing of all of the disciples. Now Jesus sends a gracious invitation to come and to meet with him. And not only do angels say we are welcome to come to Jesus, but all Scripture urges us to come in spite of any and all of our past sins. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus extended an invitation, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus, throughout his ministry, invited men to come and believe in him. And near the end of his ministry, his final words to his nation were recorded in John 7:37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Israel, however, would have nothing of that, rejecting his gracious offer and nailing him to a cross. And they have suffered the darkness of spiritual blindness for over 2,000 years. The book of Revelation, written sometime after the cross, reveals Jesus still graciously calling men to meet with him. In chapter 3 and 20, we have the touching account of Jesus, the God of heaven, humbly standing at the door of the church and of the human heart, saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." The very last chapter of the Bible includes Jesus' words, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." The angel was the first to say God is not mad at us, but graciously opens his arms and says, "Come to me and be forgiven. Be free from that burden of sin." And that invitation, friends, is still good. There is still time for you to come. If you will believe that Christ died for your sins and will now ask him to forgive and cleanse you, then today he will do that and make you a part of his forever family. In the words of the hymn writer, there is room at the cross for you. There is room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Will you not come to him today and trust him and take him as your Lord and Savior? The angels have stated several important things of Christ, but it was not God's intention for them to say everything. The scriptures, however, are intended for our instruction, and they declare decisively some other great things about Christ. First, that the kingdom of God that Jesus began to preach about is not dissolved, but rather delayed. When Israel rejected Christ as their king, God then closed the door for a time, as it were, on the kingdom promised, and opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul clearly states that God is not finished with Israel, saying in Romans chapter 11, verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." This speaks of a day when Christ shall return with his saints to purge Israel from their sin of unbelief and to reign on David's throne over all the world for 1,000 years. The book of Revelation records the great coming events designed to convince men of their wickedness and to pave the way for Christ's return. This includes the revelation of Antichrist, the 7 years of tribulation, and this will be a time when God pleads with men through great judgments poured out upon the earth. This then will lead to the gathering of all nations and the battle of Armageddon. Then Christ, God's King, will come from heaven, it says, and destroy Antichrist and his armies and be crowned King of Israel and of the world. Revelation 11:15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The risen Christ will one day return to reign and to fulfill all the prophecies of the 1,000 years of prosperity and peace, both for Israel and for the whole world. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and peace shall reign over all the earth. There are so many, many more things spoken of about Christ, but one final thing. Christ is also the coming God-ordained judge that all wicked men must face. Revelation 20:11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." What a sad ending for all those who reject the risen Savior and Lord and coming King and Judge. Friends, there are many other things spoken of in the scriptures concerning the risen Christ. We all need to spend more time opening and studying God's Word. May His truth and the truth of the resurrected Christ bless and encourage all of us today. May each of you have a blessed and a happy Easter time.
I trust the Lord used the previous message to draw you closer to Himself and to help you to be encouraged in your faith. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we continue to be concerned about those who do listen to our broadcast. We trust that those of you who have been believers over the years have been encouraged, and we pray that the Word of God will continue to bless you and help you today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and be a blessing. And to those who have never received Christ personally, this is Easter, and of course, this is the time where the Lord Jesus fulfilled His goal of going to the cross. The purpose for Him coming and be born in a manger and living a sinless life was to go to the cross and bear each of our sins in His own body as He hung on the tree. And as He hung between heaven and earth, He paid the hell that we deserve for all our sins. He took it upon Himself. And when you ask Jesus to come into your life, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, the Scripture says. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new creature. Old things pass away. All your sins are forgiven. You have a new life. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have a new opportunity. Also, all of us can have our faith increased and even blessed by ordering our copy of Palm Sunday to Easter. I know that you'll not be disappointed by receiving this free gift from our ministry. You can write Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Or you can visit our website at www.missiongo.org. That's missiongo.org. And you can hear previous broadcasts of Canada's National Bible Hour. Please remember us in your prayers, and please pray that God will continue to sustain us financially so that we can continue this broadcast into the future. May the Lord bless you throughout this week, and I trust you'll continue to sense His presence and do His work.